a 40-year National Football League record. And listen, pal, I'm not your boss. A couple things we're going to talk about in today's edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for listening. Say hi. I haven't heard from any of you in a while. Ask how I'm doing, because I always ask how you're doing. Share with me a thought for a future podcast. Let me know you're out there. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. If it's golf related, the Todd Wright Tour is on summer break. We will return after Labor Day, but any golf stories, golf course recommendations you need in the state of Florida or even nationally, ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com, or my thoughts on the recent Scottie Scheffler win at the PGA Championship. Let me talk about a couple of sponsors, because they pay for this podcast, so you don't have to. All right. Pin Chasers, a great place to get out of the summer heat. They're also going to be starting with schools letting out summer kids camps. For all information on bowling, food and fun and those summer kids camps, go to pinchasers.net. Also, to check out their almost daily specials on food, beverage and unlimited bowling specials, go to Pin Chasers on Instagram. It is simply at Pin Chasers. You can find them on Instagram. They're often posting pictures of people having fun. And in its simplest form, the reason if you're going to bowl in the Tampa Bay area, the biggest reason you should bowl at Pin Chasers is not just that they have four locations. They're not going to charge you for the shoes. That money stays in your pocket. They do not charge you to rent their bowling shoes. Pinchasers.net, bowling, food, and fun. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. I just changed messages with Jeremy, the marketing representative from Brandon Legal Group, who helps me with so much for Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm, so if you have a legal need now or in the future, you can receive a free consult by calling 813-902-3576 or requesting a free consult at brandonlegalgroup.com. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, and among their full service offerings, help with permanent alimony. If you are an adult male residing in the state of Florida and you actively pay permanent alimony, the law has been on your side for nearly two calendar years now. Ron DeSantis eliminated permanent alimony from Florida law on July 1st, 2023. Brandon Legal Group can help get you in front of a judge to reduce or potentially eliminate future permanent alimony payments, because it is not the law in Florida and hasn't been for almost 2 years. You can't just stop making the payments on your own. You need legal help. But the law is on your side. It's one of the things Brandon Legal Group can do for you. Visit them at brandonlegalgroup.com. Are any other adult males tired of other males, particularly in a professional capacity where you are the customer and they are an employee and they call you boss? Hey, boss, what do you need? You got it, boss. Hey, boss, you need a refill on that drink? Hey, boss, how's your food treating you? Hey, boss, thanks for coming in. I'm freaking tired of it. And I think the next person that does it, I'm going to tell them, I'm not your boss. And if you address me as boss one more time, I will act like your boss and tell you you're fired. Why is this commonplace? Do we write this off as something the kids say? Yes, there are other things kids say that I don't understand, like referring to things as fire. But this is specific to male on male. Ladies, this is why I have so many female friends in the world. And granted, I'm in a golf world dominated by males. But I surround myself with females because they don't do stupid shit like this. There is no woman who waits on me in a professional capacity and comes up and says, hey, boss, how's everything going? They don't, because they know it's stupid and they shouldn't do it. Also, the young males aren't referring to women as boss. So technically, that's gender biased. And I know you're rolling your eyes, but I want to make a point. I want to get rid of this. Now, I know there are other terms, chief, things that they can refer to you as. I was recently in a restaurant and the male server referred to me as that every time he addressed me. There was nothing wrong with his attentiveness or my overall experience, but every time he said it to me, it pissed me off. I shouldn't have to bring it up. Employees shouldn't use it to address customers. And honestly, I don't like it even in a casual sense. If one of my 100-plus players says it to me at the golf tournament, I'm just going to turn and walk away. Technically, I am the boss of the golf tournament, but that's not why they're saying it. So if you are a male and you commonly use that term in personal or professional settings, can you freaking stop? And by eliminating it from your language, you're not changing anything about your life. But just know, I find it really annoying. It's not applicable. And I'm not allowing the pass of, well, that's what they say. Well, especially if I'm the customer, don't say it to me. I don't expect you to know my name. I don't expect you to remember me. I'm coming in. I tip the gentleman the same way I would have had he never said it. So if you want to factor that in, I understand these people. He did a good job other than that. It's just annoying to me. Do you find it annoying as well? Do you hear it? There are other things. You can email me and tell me other things that are commonplace in the vernacular these days, in professional or personal settings that you don't get. I may agree with you. I'm asking if you agree with me, especially in a professional capacity where I am the consumer. I do not want male employees to address me as boss, especially when female employees do not do it. So it's not something that's done by everybody. So if it's not done by everybody, why is it only done by males to other males? I'm not your bro. This isn't a code. You're doing a job. I'm a customer. I will tip you. I will treat you with respect, and I will say please and thank you. Don't frickin' call me boss, because the next one that does, I'm going to go off on it. James Wilder. I'm hoping to talk to him at some point in the coming weeks. Ira Kaufman, who puts Buccaneers into the Hall of Fame and represents the Buccaneers in that aspect, writing for JoeBucksFan.com, podcaster. Even Ira doesn't talk to James Wilder, doesn't have his number, I asked. I asked others at Joe Bucks Fan. They don't. I asked a key communications person at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You talked to James Wilder recently? Got a number for him? I was told no. What's going on here? What's the problem? Something's not right. Or too many people are ignoring something that I think is worth talking about. The 1984 Buccaneer season was not very memorable. It was in the midst of consistent losing, but there were three elements from that season that do stand out as the Bucs reached their 50th year. 84 was the last year John McKay coached, the first ever head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and still to this day, brought more comedy and personality to the job than just about anybody around that time. Helped NFL films with microphones on him or talking to him realize that there was something here. John McKay retired after the 1984 season. It was a 6-10 year. It was more lowlights than highlights. But that was the first ever coach of the Buccaneers who took the Bucs to the playoffs 3 times. That was his last year. He retired at the end of the season. Leroy Selman retired at the end of that year. He made the Pro Bowl that year. He retired rather than having a surgery for a back issue. He may not have been at the tippy top of his game, but he was better than just about everybody else in the NFL at playing defensive end. And was one of the best human beings I've ever known. Went on to start the USF football program. Notice how much they've stunk since Leroy passed away. Yeah. And the third thing from that season was what James Wilder did, which was pretty much everything else. James Wilder ran the ball, I think it was 405 times. Might have been 407. Here we go. He had 492 touches that year. Combined rushing attempts, pass receptions. 492. He either had 407 rushing attempts or 405. I don't have it right in front of me. I'm right there. And then add up the receptions. Nobody ran the ball more that year in the NFL than Wilder. And the only two players in 1984 who caught more balls were Art Monk and Ozzie Newsome. Ask any fan of those teams how good those guys are. Wilder's 492 touches of the football, rushing and receiving combined, in 1984 was the most that year. 40 years later, it's still the most of any single offensive player in the history of the National Football League. 40 years later. You're saying, well, Saquon last year, yeah, workhorse, Super Bowl champ, big season. Not within 100 of what Wilder did. Let me repeat, not within 100 of what Wilder did. So, why does nobody with the Bucs talk to James Wilder? In a 50th anniversary season, why is James Wilder's name not on the stadium? Can anybody give me another individual record set by a Buccaneer and only by a Buccaneer? This is not Tom Brady and his Super Bowl rings where he had one with Tampa Bay. Can anybody give me an NFL record of another Buccaneer that has stood for 40 years and still stands today? You know, people like to talk about unbreakable records. Ovechkin just broke Gretzky's record for goals, a record that many thought would never be broken. It was. Occasionally, these things do happen. And it's phenomenal when they do. I have three baseball ones from the last podcast. No one's going to break Pete Rose's record of 4,256 hits. No one's going to break Cal Ripken's record of consecutive games played. And no one's going to throw three no-hitters in a row because that's what you need to do to break, not tie, break the record set by former Cincinnati Reds pitcher Johnny Vandermeer, who actually made a home in the Tampa Bay area and even died here not too long ago. Johnny Vandermeer threw back-to-back no-hitters. To break that, some baseball pitcher is going to need to throw three no-hitters in a row. So there's three that I don't think will be broken, just from baseball. I don't think anybody's going to break James Wilder's record. And even though we are going to an 18th game, we've gone to a 17th game, and Barkley wasn't within 100 of James Wilder touching the ball 492 times offensively. 492. The record has lasted 40 years. Back at the Big Sombrero, there was an area called the Crew of Honor, K-R-E-W-E, and I thank JoeBucksFan.com for pointing this out to me. I vaguely remember it. I went to a lot of games of the Big Sombrero, a lot of games, both as just a fan and later as a member of the media. I vaguely remember the Crew of Honor. There were no names up on walls inside the stadium bowl. It was more, I think, underneath the stands. It was a smallish display. James Wilder's name was part of the Crew of Honor. So why isn't he in the Ring of Honor? Considering he set, as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, an NFL record 40 years ago that is still active today and may never be broken, even with a 17th game and an 18th game. Did James piss somebody off? What's going on here? Why is there a disconnect between the current Buccaneers and James Wilder and what he did for the Buccaneers in the 80s? Dave Wirth and I talked about this on Spectrum Bay News 9 and Spectrum News 13 recently. Dave thinks, well, he was just part of a bunch of bad teams. Yeah, so was John McKay. So was Leroy. They were on that team too. What's going on here? If anyone knows James Wilder, and James wants a friendly voice to say whatever he wants, please email me. I've seen a couple of phone numbers. I'm tempted to just call them. I don't know James. I'd love to hear what James has to say. I wasn't on board at first with Simeon Rice going into the Ring of Honor. I went back and looked at it. I listened to some people who really care about it. And yes, I agree. Hall of Fame? No, I don't. But five double-digit sack seasons for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Yeah, I get it. But it's not an issue. I'm just wondering why James Wilder's name isn't good enough for the Ring of Honor at the current Buck Stadium when he was a member of what was the closest thing to it at the previous stadium, and he still, as far as I know, is the only individual member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to hold a single season record that still stands today and has stood for 40 frickin' years. You got any thoughts on James Wilder and the disconnect between James Wilder and the current Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I'd love to hear it at write.todd@yahoo.com. That's the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thanks for listening. I appreciate Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers for paying for this podcast so you don't have to. Thanks for your time. Have a good day.